I always say nutrition can make a good athlete great, or it can make a great athlete good, right?
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Lindsay Langford, a registered dietitian and the head nutritionist at Butler University. With years of experience working with athletes across multiple sports, including the NFL, NHL, as well as NBA, and much more, Lindsay has developed a deep understanding of the vital role nutrition plays in performance as well as recovery. Her experience spans from developing personalized nutrition plans to educating athletes on the importance of fueling their bodies correctly. In today's episode, we dive into three key topics. What an ideal pregame or pre-practice meal would look like for an athlete. Her take on the supplement industry, as in what's safe and what's not. How an athlete's nutritional needs differ during in-season versus off-season trainings. Lindsay's insights will provide you with practical tools to optimize your nutrition for peak performance. Please welcome to the podcast, Lindsay Langford. Dr. Dish Basketball is the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches. And this month only, you can unlock up to $4,000 off on their lineup of professional shooting machines. Just mention the Rising Coaches podcast to get even more exclusive discounts. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and welcome back. Another episode, Rising Coaches podcast. Alan and Doug here to give you some more information and download. We have a unique twist on things today, so we're actually really excited for this one. We're diving into the world of health, nutrition, some of the best. One of the registered dietitians for the Butler basketball program, Lindsay Langford. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This will be fun.
Now, I know we were mentioning before we hopped on here, but this is perfect because we just had recently a drop. Right before yours will be the head strength and conditioning coach over at Arkansas. So if you haven't tuned into that, you can get the strength and conditioning side. And then we always say, and I've heard it more than enough, after you get a good workout and you got to have the proper nutrition, the proper diet, so then everything that you just did doesn't go to waste. So this is perfect that we're able to hear this side of things. But first things first, like, just talk about being a dietitian with a university, working with a basketball program. Give us a download of maybe what a typical day might look like for you and what are some of the things that you entail.
Yeah, I feel like dietetics is a really cool career path and love the job that I get to wake up and do every day. I would say that it definitely varies so I am a registered sports dietitian. It's CSSD, Certified Specialist in Sports Dietetics. So if you are a coach ever looking for a dietitian, you want to look for that credential, CSSD. But we have the coolest job. So I am grateful to always share what I get to do every day. But I would say that every day is totally different. And for me specifically, while I do work for Butler, I am a consultant. And so I do play different roles in the community elsewhere that could potentially help some coaches as well, thinking in different realms. But I'll try to just put on my collegiate lens for you today. And I think what a day-to-day would look like could be individual appointments one-on-one. That's what you think a dietitian does. Okay, you go into her office and you sit down and you talk about your diet. And yes, I do that, but I would say that's honestly very rare. A lot of times I'm in the weight room, quick chats with players. Hey guys, make sure when you leave, you grab your recovery nutrition. It might be a 2-minute segment at the end of a lift on whatever various topic that may be. Hey, we have 3 games in 5 days coming up, guys. We've got to really focus on recovery. So a lot of times it's quick hitters for dietitians in the collegiate space because you just don't have a ton of time to just sit down and talk with them one-on-one or do PowerPoint presentations. Other things in the off season, which is really fun when we get to do them, but our little like cooking demos. And so that may be with Butler, especially their freshmen coming in. Now, I will say the freshmen a lot of times are going to dining halls, but a lot of times they don't even know how to scramble an egg. And so I'll bring in little burners and we'll teach them how to scramble eggs, do over easy. How do you like it? Let's play around with it. But some life skills as far as cooking, going to the grocery store, a lot of the kids, their parents have done all of this. And so got to step up. They got to step it up. And that's part of my job as a dietitian to hold their hand through it.
No, I will say this, Doug. I've sampled one of her smoothies before, peanut butter. It was ridiculous. It was unbelievable.
That was a special coach's edition, Alan. All right.
Yeah, that's all right. Whatever you did to
put that in the world,
it was awesome. Yeah, that thing was great. But talk about, I think probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the biggest challenges for you is closing the gap between what you know, what they should do, and what they're currently doing. And you just, yeah. It seems like that's the constant gap that you're trying to close, is get them to see the urgency and the importance of what, because in their mind, again, going to Taco Bell and then going right to practice, in their mind, like, oh, I had something to eat. What do you mean? Yeah. I had something to eat, versus the importance of what you're actually putting in your system, because you don't want to put lawnmower fluid in a Porsche.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's also our, as sports dietitians too, is to be realistic and meet them where they are. And that's the hard part, because sometimes we have these expectations of where, or the knowledge of where they need to be and we want them to be, but there's no way that they're actually going to achieve that, at least in the first 6 months of working together, or even their first freshman year of college. That may be our goal when they're a senior. And so, and maybe this is a personal thing, but in general, you've got to have very realistic expectations, because we are working with 18, 19 year olds to 23 year olds. And so, yes, the knowledge has to meet behavior modification. And I think that's where sometimes small wins become a win, as opposed to, hey, I show up for a lift and a 2 hour practice and I've had nothing. So honestly, Alan, I probably would have rather them go to Taco Bell than to show up with nothing. So that's step one. And then step two is, hey, when you're at Taco Bell, actually the bean burrito is not the worst. Okay, maybe before practice, actually. Working with them on, hey, the grilled chicken tacos maybe would be your better option. And so that's step two. And then there's step three of, hey, we got to leave Taco Bell behind. And now step three is you actually getting a higher quality meal at that time and working them through that. And a big thing is just buying and getting them to buy into your trust first, because they have to have that connection generally to make a change too.
I have a couple kids on my team that always want to order post game. They always get chicken tenders and fries. And it's, you know what, at this point, don't even fight it. You just let them order it. You give it to them. I don't want to ask questions and start that war. But it's one of those, like, is this really probably the best thing that you could be doing? And this is the juniors and seniors too. These aren't the underclassmen that were doing this. This is the upperclassmen. So that's why I guess this kind of relays into, do you have, well, obviously I'm sure you do, but like specifics when it comes to pregame meals, postgame meals, are there things that you would highly recommend? And maybe let me reference this in terms of maybe the people who don't have the resources that like Butler may have, because most people who may be listening to this are maybe more high school or D2, D3 colleges trying to work their way up to a Butler University. So maybe people who don't have the same resources, is there anything that you would advise maybe those student athletes to be able to best help themselves pre and post game?
Yep. Pre, just the science and the foundation behind it. Anytime we're going into a workout or a game, I always encourage, and I use the phrase, protect the bookends. We got to protect the bookends of what's most important to you, which is your performance in that game. And so are we going in well-fueled, and are we recovering well afterwards? Outside of that, sometimes we can get by with a little more of those fun foods that you're wanting. But if we can protect those bookends, then that's a priority to me. And so going in pre is always carbohydrates. And that's typically easy for our players to get in for the most part, the pastas, the rice, the potatoes. Now, sure, there's a difference in quality, absolutely, between spaghetti and meat sauce. That's still like a very standard pregame meal that I would be behind. You could also say, hey, we can get chicken fingers and French fries, and that's protein and carbs. So there's a difference there in quality. But yeah, I think that you can do pregame meal, honestly, fairly affordable. As I just said, even the like standard marinara with a ground turkey would be my preference. And most kids don't even know the difference between a ground turkey and a ground beef, really. So something like that can be just simple. I'm even a big fan of like sub sandwiches, something with a lot of bread, which a lot of times stereotypical, oh, we need to stay away from carbohydrates. That has got to be pushed out the window, especially for this population. Like, we need carbohydrates. So sometimes when we're working on a budget, even just like sub sandwiches with baked chips or pretzels can be a really great option. Getting high sodium needs because they're about to go sweat all of that out. So those are a few things.
To have a Subway sandwich high school before every game, I had one good game off of a Subway chicken teriyaki sandwich. My dad goes, "We're having this every single time." I ate it before every game.
I love it. And there's something to the psychological aspect of that too that I don't want to mess with you.
Baseball players are probably, that's like a baseball thing, because you want to talk about superstition, those guys are at another level in terms of superstition. But I know basketball guys can be as well. But what about post game, because there's a window when a game ends that you've got to try to get something in your system, because there's a point where if you wait too long or practice too, but there's a point where if you wait too long, you don't get the benefits, correct?
Right. Yep. I love to describe that as a sponge. So through a game, your muscles are like a sponge, and throughout that game, it's leaking out water. We're slowly squeezing the sponge, and that water is glycogen that's in our muscles, in our liver, that's giving us the energy to go play your game. It's also hydration that we're losing through sweat. It's electrolytes that we're losing through sweat. And at the end of the game, we're left with a dry sponge. And if you stick that dry sponge into a bucket of water, what happens? Soaks it all up, right? Yeah. So that's what happens to our muscles after a game. But if we start walking around for about an hour, more than an hour after, with this dry sponge muscle, then we're impeding that recovery time. And so we do want to get in typically your recovery nutrition, usually within an hour of training. And that really just, again, increases your recovery aspect. And so can you do it by not doing anything? Yes, of course we can. Our body does amazing things on really crappy nutrition, but it could be doing a lot better. And so post, I usually am, protein is king, but carbohydrates are right there with it. And usually different protein shakes, maybe bananas, peanut butter and jelly sandwich is actually a really cheap, affordable, convenient aspect or snack to throw in with a protein shake. But it also could just be that you're going home and you're getting your meal from your parents or a dining hall that's a nice balanced meal of chicken, rice, broccoli, stir fries, anything where we're going to get a high quality protein, meaning it's lower in fat. It's not like a high fried, high fat pepperoni, cheese pizza. Now, those things are typically what the players want right afterwards.
Of course. Yeah.
To be honest with you, sometimes we allow those to come in. If we don't have a game for a week or 2 weeks, then maybe that is the time. Because again, we've got that dry sponge. It's going to soak up a good bit of that. But in general, we still want to treat that muscle with some high quality protein afterwards and some carbohydrates still. And then you've got antioxidants with it. So a lot of times we'll use cherry juice. There's a company called Cherry Bunny that we use a lot of little like squeeze pouch cherry juices. And we do that from a convenience factor, but you can totally go to Kroger, Whole Foods, just your local grocery store and buy a tart cherry juice. And that helps a lot with inflammation. Also research to show that it helps with sleep. So a lot of times that's really beneficial post game.
That's good to know. Hey, that could be something for somebody who's not in athletics anymore, right?
Yeah. No doubt.
Knock you out.
Little nugget.
So I guess I wanted to ask too a little bit on, say you go into a game and you don't necessarily eat maybe the proper balance that you should have. Can you talk about like how that would affect your mental clarity, your focus? I'm sure it probably would definitely alter if you don't have a healthy, balanced meal. Like, you can't, it's harder for you to focus. You're not locked in as well. Can you talk about that side of things?
Yeah. The brain's primary fuel source is glucose. And we get glucose by consuming typically carbohydrates that are broken down to elevate your blood glucose level. And so when the brain doesn't have that, then it has to kick into reserves, which takes a lot longer to break those reserves down. Sure, we can break down fatty acids, but it takes longer. And so if you're out on the court and you've got to make quick second decisions, we don't want to be relying on storage at that point. We need something that's on board and quick. And yes, I always say nutrition can make a good athlete great, or it can make a great athlete good, right? And so we want to make yourself great. And I think nutrition's just something I think easy to utilize to improve performance. And yeah, out there on the court, you just want to be well-fueled so that you can make good, quick decision-making skills.
Yeah, I like that.
In other aspects of just like dehydration, you're going out there dehydrated and then you're increasing your risk of cramp or muscle strain. And there's tons of reasons why I feel like you've got to be well fueled. But to answer on the mental clarity aspect, I agree.
I was going to say like in season and off season, right? Is there any, because of course, I mean, for basketball, I know we were talking like you work with some NFL teams. I know you work with NHL and obviously NBA, but like each NFL is completely going to be eating differently than an NBA team would, because NFL is, for at least depending on the position, they're trying to gain weight and get big and absolutely units, right? NBA players are maybe more trying to stay a little more lean. What does the in-season versus off-season more diet look like?
Mm-hmm. Ideally, with all our players, the off season is the time to make those body composition changes. Ideally, if we're trying to put weight on or even take weight off, that ideally is done in the off season time. And so truly my time as a dietitian, I'm about to go into prime time right now, because that's when I can focus on them. They can focus on me maybe a little bit more. Once we hit in season, it's like, ideally we've created this body that you wanted as your goal. And now we've got to maintain that. And that takes nutrition education and help from me too. But a lot of times the reconstructive part or the building a strong foundation for the season ahead is done in this off season time. And last year with Butler, we had this mantra of building our house in the off season, and we're going to build our house out of bricks. And every time we have a good solid meal, we're building that foundation to withstand the season ahead of us. And so for some of them, that was weight gain. And for some of them, it's just maintaining and the goal of putting muscle mass on. But yeah, so I would say the difference between in season and off season is definitely the focus. A lot of times is a little bit more in that off season time, believe it or not. And then I would say the components of what you're eating is definitely different depending on what their goal is. Carbohydrates are a little bit lower in this off season time. We're increasing the protein intake. And then in season, that kind of flip flops a little bit more. Carbs are more king, and then proteins can reduce a little bit.
Yeah. Talk about this for a second, because it's two questions I have, but I'll ask one now and I'll ask the other one in a second. Hydration. Just the urgency of hydration being like finding, what does it look like maybe for an athlete to find the best hydration rhythm, and then what that hydration should look like? Obviously, again, their version, hey man, I just had a Sprite, or I just had a Dr. Pepper, I'm good, you know, versus going into practice, probably not the best thing, whether it's pre, post, or just more just the general routine, a hydration routine. What's that look like for an athlete? And then what are the best things to hydrate with? Because there's so much out there now. You have like Element, which is like the salty packets. You have so many things out there. So dig into that a little bit from a hydration angle.
Yes. So hydration definitely becomes a big focus for us, usually in this off season time of just education. Certainly a focus in season two, but these are in our hotter months, and generally basketball is played in colder months. And so hydration becomes actually really hard for players in season because it's so cold. But I will say, but they're also not losing as much sweat. And so I'm not going to get into the total weeds and try to answer your question briefly. And that is that in general terms, this is a really good calculation to use. And so coaches can put this into practice with their players, and that's take their body weight and divide it in half. We weigh 200 pounds. You need at minimum 100 ounces in a day. And generally what is that 100 ounces look like? Ideally, I want it coming from water, but I definitely would take sports drinks in there. If this is a day where you are practicing and you are sweating, then in general, I'm fine with a sports drink, or would even encourage a sports drink or electrolyte drink. And I'll decipher those two a little bit, because the market, as you said, Alan, has increased so much that now there are all these products and there's a difference in a lot of these products. And so it used to just be a standard Gatorade, Powerade, and that's
right.
Right. And to be honest, it's actually really low electrolyte. Gatorade is, and or Powerade. And but now there's like the Gatorade Zero. There's even the Gatorade Endurance, I think is what it's called, which is like higher carb and higher electrolyte. And then Gatorade Zero is like no carbs, but we still have electrolytes. And then there are all these secondary products like
the Gator Lights.
Yeah.
Gatorlight. Gatorades.
Yeah.
Those are top notch.
Yeah. And I love all of them, to be honest. It's just, I want you to be educated to know when to use them and why you're using them. But I love like the Element, the Liquid IV. There's one called Drip Drop that's really popular. There's Right Stuff is a little packet of electrolytes that's like the highest electrolyte, but there's no sugar in it. And so it's, if you have a player that needs carbohydrates and we need sugar, then I want to use those specific products. If we have a player that maybe is trying to lean out, or hey, they just sweat a ton, so really we just need the electrolyte portion, like the Element that has no sugar, then we're just adding that to our water and it's really high electrolyte. So I think there's just a little education now, because it used to just be one product and now you have all of these, and all of these can be used. You just need to be equipped to know how to use them and when. So I have a little cheat sheet in the locker room on, hey, these are your products with highest electrolyte. These are your products with the highest sugar, but maybe their electrolyte's fairly low. And it's just a buffet. You just need to know which pot you need to pull from. And so to do that, I will say this is generally not something that every coach is going to be able to have access to, but just due to the cost, honestly, and finding the resources. But we do test our players' electrolytes. We test their sweat to determine how much sodium they are sweating out, because it's actually a very wide range that's genetically given. There is nothing we can really do to alter that. But some players might sweat out like 800, 900 milligrams of sodium in a liter of sweat. So generally that's about an hour of practicing, 800 to 900. We have other players that are at like 2,800. So that's a huge discrepancy. And we're just talking about sodium, because that is the main electrolyte lost. So that's been a valuable tool to use. Again, if you find your local sports dietitian, they can probably guide you in that if you're interested in testing your players. But that is something that has provided us a little more science to be able to recommend specific products to specific players.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Now, I've become a big Element fan. That I go to high yoga 3 times a week. So it's made a difference for sure. And it's got magnesium in it, which has helped me sleep better. I've noticed that as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to try this.
We're not sponsored yet.
Yeah. I'm trying. I'm plugging it out there. Listening. Come get us, Element. Come get us. But no, I want to try this Drip Drop stuff too, because I've heard that's pretty good. So we'll see. But no, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, now the golden question that this has been in my back pocket and I've been waiting for this, because I feel like this is one of those things where like some kids will just take whatever they think is good, like creatine now especially, or more along the lines of like supplements, right? So like creatine, protein, just daily vitamins. I'll be the first one to say, I won't blame it on anybody else. I'll say even me, like when I was in high school going into college, now, my coach guided me the proper way, got me on like good stuff and made sure I maintained. So he gave me the knowledge behind it. But I gained 30 pounds going into my freshman year of just muscle, just working out and taking proper vitamins. So he gave me some like different creatines. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But he was always like the nutritional nut. So he knew what he was doing. So I trusted him. Now, not everybody has that opportunity. But I guess what I'm getting at is there any creatines, any proteins that, and I'm not making you put a hard stamp and say this is what you should take, but is there anything that maybe you would recommend to people looking to maybe gain a little muscle mass during, or I should say postseason or preseason, any proteins to follow that, and then any maybe daily vitamins that you would come back as well?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely use and do encourage supplements, but I would want to give you and your audience just some education on that. Number one, when you're thinking about a supplement, number one, is it safe? And to know if it's safe are a couple things. The first aspect would be, is it third-party certified? And third-party certified means that, first of all, I should back up and say the supplement industry is completely unregulated. The FDA does not monitor it pretty much in any way. They do have small oversight, but in general, you or I can make a supplement, put a fancy label on it, say that it's whatever it is that we wanted to say, but really it's just rice flour in a little packet. And we can do that. And there's nobody to regulate that for us. So to know that if it's safe, we have to have third-party testing. And so that's these supplement companies that are very reputable. They send them off to a lab. They pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to. It's very expensive, but they know that we know as the receivers of this product that it is going to be safe. And so those seals will be printed on the supplement label, and it is informed choice for sport. That's one. NSF for sport is another one. And there are a few other smaller ones, but those are really our main two. And so that's number one, is if it's safe from the safety certification. The other one is it's safe for this population that I'm using it with. And I would lean on the person prescribing that to make that decision. And so generally that is a sports dietitian. And for the most part, it, again, if it's certified, there is nothing that I would recommend that would be unsafe by any means. And so that's number one. Number two, is it going to be effective? And so we have to, as practitioners, really assess the situation. Is this something that our athlete really even needs to take? Is this going to be beneficial for them? And the way I look at that is, if I have an athlete that's eating total crap and not eating anything, but yet they want to take a creatine supplement to help them gain weight, I don't recommend that. Like, we have so much that we can do nutrition-wise to see 2 to 3 times the gains than taking a creatine supplement that's going to give you some false little bloat and think that you've gained weight. And so I definitely use supplements, but I'm using nutrition first. And once we've got our nutrition up to snuff, at least corrected some of the major imbalances, now let's throw in something like a creatine that could be helpful. So I do use that. I would use protein powders, if we're calling that a supplement, which it is. I definitely use those in just like smoothie making or a convenient way to get protein in. Multivitamins, fish oil, those are probably my top like 3 or 4 to 5 recommendations there.
Okay. No, the fish oil pill, I know. I got lucky
every day.
Across some a while ago. Do you? Yeah, I
every day.
Those were tremendous when I took them, and then I stopped. But I was just curious about that, because especially, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that'll just go take creatine, don't read the fine print, and think, oh, this is going to go great, things can go south, you're not drinking enough water on it, all that kind of, like, you're not maintaining it properly. So it's good to know that, because I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know about the third-party testing that you mentioned. Like, you have to make sure things are third-party tested. So that's actually good to know moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it's like most of the GNCs or the vitamin shop, or there are very few certified products there, to be honest. And so you can hop on a website, nsfforsport.com. You can even download an app and you can click on, hey, I want to take a creatine supplement. Which ones are certified? And you can find those. And there are some at your like Target or vitamin shop, but there's not a ton. And so you got to be picky. A lot of them are online orders. And so there are quite a few great sports nutrition companies out there. I'll drop a couple with no loyalty to any, but I would say Momentous is a really good one. There's another one called Clean Athlete, spelled with a K, that everything they produce is third-party tested. Thorn Research is another big one. So those are a couple that I probably use those three companies the most. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Good to know. I had no idea it was that loosely regulated, and I'm not even maybe loosely doesn't even apply with the way how you describe it.
Yeah,
it just sounds like a wild, wild west.
Yeah, and so I think absolutely to cover A, we have the athlete in mind, but B, it's also yourself too, and like credibility if something were to happen and this athlete gets either injured or tests positive for a banned substance, that's also yourself on the line too. And so I'd never. Again, I want their safety in mind first and then mine second. That's something that I'm not recommending anything that's not third-party tested.
Good to know.
But yeah,
I was walking around like I was walking around a GNC recently, like a little lost dog, walking through things, looking at the guy goes, do you need any help? I'm like, I could use all that help. I have no idea what I'm looking at. Trying to read all the fine print on every single one, putting them back. Nope, this doesn't sound good. Googling it. I was in there for about an hour walking around.
Throw the NSF stuff at them next time you're in there, Dougie. That'll get them on their toes a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So what we typically do is we usually have one final question that kind of wraps up everything. This one we had to alter a little bit, primarily for more of the nutritional side, but mainly what it is, if you could give a piece of advice out there to any coaches who are listening to try and help best maintain their athletes, their diet, their nutrition. I know that might be, there's a lot of things that you could throw in that realm, I'm sure, but what would that advice to those coaches be?
Yeah. I think my biggest advice is be an advocate for nutrition. And so I think of two things that I would encourage your coaches to do. Number one is, can we latch on to two or three nutrition aspects that you think are beneficial that are not stepping into anyone's lane as a sports dietitian? Number one, I would say recovery nutrition. Two, hydration. Three, did you have a snack before practice? Those are three very simple things that anyone can educate their athletes on. And just preach that to them continually. Hey guys, if you're showing up to my practices unfueled, I'm not getting the best out of you. So in fact, you're going to sit out for the first 30 minutes because you don't have enough energy to last the whole time. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's extreme, but I think be an advocate of nutrition and continue to just remind your players of that on a daily or weekly basis. And then I would say number two would be try to find a sports dietitian in your area, partner with them, have them come out, do some either presentations or some one-on-one work, or maybe you even do sweat rate tests with them where you're weighing them in before and after practice, seeing how much they lose in a practice, just integrating a professional into your team, and generally shouldn't cost you too much if you're only doing it a few times a year. So those would be my two pieces of advice.
Yeah, basically make this part of your culture. Make it this part of your team.
Exactly.
Make this part of your team's culture. This is part of what we do. This is part of who we are. And obviously, I think in recruiting, it's good that mom and dad know that, in my mind, like parents. Knowing that you're sending your kid to a program where, just as crazy as it may sound, but it's just another aspect of a selling point that this is important to me, because that's when moms come to campus, they want to know, where is he eating? Where is he sleeping? Where is he studying? Dads are like, where is he hooping? Let's see the gym. Let's see the locker room. Let's see the weight room. So they got like their three things that they each want to see. But moms, it's like you can almost book it. Where is he or she sleeping? Where are they eating? And where are they studying? It's crazy. But this to me as a coach would be really good just to make it part of your culture. And just weave it in, blend it in, fold it in, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a what we do and this is a who we are type of thing.
Yeah, you nailed it. You said it better than I did. Well done.
I got lucky.
One thing that we do is we actually go and buy, like, we buy Uncrustables. We have Pop-Tarts, granola bars, bananas, oranges. My head coach leaves them in his office. So that's a way for people to show up, go into his office, have a conversation with him. And there's a lot of times we'll be sitting in there talking. Somebody will just come in. Oh, hey, I just came for a snack. But then they'll sit down and have a conversation and walk out with a couple more snacks. So it's like they're at least staying somewhat with the basics. I'm not saying eat those for a full meal, but at least you got some basics pre-practice in the mornings or post-practice. And then it's just a way for kids to come in and they feel more comfortable to come talk to you too. And they don't even know they're doing it. They don't even know you're sneakishly bringing them in to have a conversation with them. Keep that. No, I think that's great. That's really helpful. We appreciate you for taking some time out of here. Thank you for coming back, being able to share with us. I know, me and Alan have been talking about this. I know he mentioned that he talked with you one day, and this has been obviously something that we've been really looking forward to be able to hear this side of things, the nutrition. It's a lot more serious than most people take it. At least people may think it is. They don't necessarily, maybe a lot of people out there don't take nutrition as serious as they should. And I think it's something that could definitely at least help program. So thank you for being able to get on here. I'm sure a lot of people will get some information from this.
Great. Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, no, and hang out a little bit. Doug's about to land the plane here, but I thank you again, because I think in this competitive world that we're in, any way that you can get a competitive edge is going to pay off. Yeah. And hopefully people listening to this and our audience will take this as, okay, maybe this is another way I can get a competitive edge with my team, with my kids. And if we're able to be better fueled, maybe that helps us play a little bit harder, a little bit longer when it counts. And you just never know. But to me, it's just another way to get a competitive edge in my mind. So great info.
Yeah, nutrition can make a good athlete great or a great athlete good. So let's all share it for great.
I like that.
Everybody, another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. You have Alan Major, Doug Caputo here. Thank you for tuning into another episode. Keep working and keep rising, coaches. We'll see you next time. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.